Speaking of the Cold Water Rumble, it was very interesting because I, you know, our friend Adam, yeah. I'm bringing him in. I thought Adam was I brought him in as a guest thing. I thought Adam ran the Cold Water Rumble, or that he was going on. I was like, oh, that race is pretty miserable, crazy. So he actually was there, and I wanted to have him come in. So Adam, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, there you are. I couldn't see you when you talked.
Watched your podcast, getting your Western States entry ticket. Congratulations. Good for you on your 100K. Yeah, successful 100K. So that was great. We were both out at Javelina, but we had different start times. I was the final wave Saturday morning. And what was your start wave at Javelina?
It was Saturday morning, but it was a different time. Yeah.
I was like 7 or 7:15 or something like that. So I don't think we crossed paths at all. This I don't remember.
I saw you at the top of the turn on the like mile 50.
Okay. So
lap 3.
All right.
Right. That'd be lap 3. And you were getting ready to come down the hill, and I had finally figured out what was wrong with my shoe and what was affecting that. I was getting like a nerve pain in the crook of my, you know, basically like if this is my foot right here, the tongue was pushing on the front of my ankle, and I didn't realize what was happening until it was too late. So that right then I cut the tongue, but the Speed Goat 4s have this new tongue that's like a soft rubber, and it's too firm and it's really long. And so it was just poking there and poking there. And I mean, it was unbearable. It felt like, I thought I had like a stress fracture.
Yeah.
And
I had something that somewhat similar to that at, across the years, you wear, you know, an anklet bracelet, you know, timing chip. And, I started getting it. It felt to me like a shin splint, and it's like, okay, I this is, you know, kind of painful. I can't continue. It's just on one leg. And I ended up turning my timing chip in, and I was signed up for the 72 hour. This is before they had the 6 and the 10 day. 72 was their maximum distance. So got to 100, turned my chip in, and I was already there and decided, okay, I'm just going to hang out for the day and cheer people on. And so for basically 8 hours, I just sat, you know, in a chair and cheering people. And my friend Michael Miller had something similar, and he talked to me and said, Ed, I think it was the ankle bracelet. I think it was, I had it on too tight. So then I got up, started walking around. It's like, oh, wow, that doesn't bother me anymore. So I went back to Jamil and said, hey, can I get my timing chip back? And he said, of course, you know, got it back, got back in the race. I ended up taking, I think, second overall in the 72, second or third, even with that big gap. But it's your leg in that area is very, very sensitive. And it's not like I had it on super tight, but it was just tight enough to do something. And of course, when I put it back on, I put on loose. And from that point on, any race I do, and typically Mike Melton's races have that ankle timing chip, and you know, with Jamil as well at the cross of the year. Well, Mike Melton times it now. But yeah, I'm always cautious to put it on really loose so I don't have that. I haven't had that issue ever again since then. But yeah, so I can understand what you're talking about, having that really, you know, I can tell, and you don't, you know, if you've done damage or not. And so, yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't know what it was when it first cropped up. It was about like right after the first loop, or right in just about that time, mile 18 or 20. I had this dull pain, like it was shin splints, but it was on both shins. And I'm just thinking, how could I have shin splints? Like I was pretty well trained, you know. And
yeah, that's a beginner injury, not a, you know, a veteran injury.
Exactly. And so I thought, well, I'm going to put on my softer shoes. And because I had some that were broken in, I put those on and it didn't go away. And because now the kind of damage had been done, you know, it was swollen. And so now the tongue, it's the same model, is pushing there. And those I had broken gradually. So I think the tongue was a little more pliable. But by the time I got up to mile 50, I cut it, but it was too late. The damage had been done. I couldn't, couldn't go on. So I finished the loop. I did 100K, but that was done after that.
But the good news is you redeem yourself and you went and got that 100K finish at the Black Canyon, which is the one we, yeah.
Yep.
Yes. But I didn't know, I know, Adam, you weren't, you know, I just sorry to break in. One, I was, if you saw the distraction I had when Ed was talking, it wasn't that I was like blowing bored with Ed. It was, I was trying to figure out how to get Adam on here. I'm telling the viewers. So I was all, he wanted me to send an email. I was like, how do I do an email when I'm doing the show on my phone? Behind the scenes things here. Before you took off, because I wasn't sure how long you could be on, Adam. Of course, congratulations to the Western States. Definitely got Ed to help you with some stuff on that, because he's obviously finished it himself. But we are talking about one of your big goals is Badwater. Ed is Mr. Badwater with 9 finishes. And I said, Adam, you should do Salt and Sea. Salt and Sea's in the fall. Not to put either of you guys, you know, not to nail either of you guys down as a commitment, but possibly you could maybe get the Jester to be your partner at the Salt and Sea, which would be pretty awesome.
You know what? I actually, when you suggested that in your podcast, I thought of it. Then you said the date is November 7, which is a Sunday. And that's the new date, the second reschedule of LA Marathon. And I have like 10 athletes that are all going to be there for a group that I'm part of. And so if it's, because I thought usually they did it Monday for Salt and Sea. If it's Monday.
But it's in May usually.
Yeah, it's usually in May. But if it's Monday, November 8th, then there's a possibility. If it actually starts on the Sunday. So is it actually, yeah, take a look at that. Cause yeah. I've only been out to Salt and Sea once, and that was crewing, you know, connection here, Adam, you're one of your, role models and heroes is Marshall Ulrich. A friend of mine was, crewing for, 3 women that were doing the, Salt and Sea. And she called me like, Sunday. And she said, hey, Ed, are you doing anything for the next couple of days? And I said, maybe. Why? What's up? She said, well, Marshall and his team, his wife was one of his crew. There's 2 crew. I think, Andy, you probably know Cinder Wolf. Do you know Cinder? She's
I heard of name.
She supports. She was part of Sandy V's cross country and Pete Kosselnick's, I think, cross country.
Oh yeah, anyway. I was out there. Yeah.
All right. So she was Marshall's crew, his group of 3, and then also Marshall's wife. And she, Marshall's wife got some really bad migraine and was not going to be able to do it. So it's like, would you be able to crew? And I was like, I don't know. And then as soon as she said, Marshall, like, oh yeah, I'm there. Cause Marshall Ulrich is a big hero of mine as well. And I'll tell you, you know, you crew for people, you really get a chance to know them. That guy is just mean and nasty when you crew for him.
I would never think that.
He is the nicest
I've seen
guy.
I
mean, every time I'm handing him something, he's like, every single time, and you know, you're crewing for someone on 81, 82 miles, you're constantly, you know, giving them your car crew. So you're giving them food and water. And it was only 2 of us. You only allowed 2 on your crew team, which is, it's kind of weird because Badwater, 1 runner, you can have up to 4 crew. Salt and Sea, 3 runners, but you can only have 2 crew. And so if someone's just going to pay attention to being the driver, for that one guy, you're like, you know, getting 3 separate for 3 people. Anyway, Marshall was just so gracious and appreciative, you know, every time. Oh, Ed, thank you so much. Oh, thank you. You know, it's like, wow, you know. So even took his star status for me even to a higher level. But so that's my only experience with Salt and Sea. It's a good one. If you're going to crew for someone, get a chance to crew for a guy like Marshall. But I'd love to run it sometime, possibly. It's a little pricey, and you know me, if it's not 100, you know, I'm not going to do it. Pretty much, I do a couple marathons and then jump up to hundreds or bigger. If with my ultra sign up resume, if you look on it, whatever 250 races, there's a handful that are 50Ks and 50 mile, or it ends up being a drop down like your race, Adam, Celtic, what was it, 2 years ago, I was signed up to the 24, and you know, the whole way that whole thing came about, supporting me in my world record quest, which I can never thank you enough for that. Thank you. That helped get me over that number I needed in December. But anyway, you changed it then to January. And I've had good luck at that race and have won it and have the course record there. It's a great race. It's my wheelhouse, 1 mile loop, can't get lost and flat, pavement, a large share of it, which is what I love. Anyway, I ended up doing my adrenal fatigue or failure was just messing me up so much. I ended up dropping into the 50 mile. So I got credit for a 50 mile, but again, for me, that's a DNF because I'd signed up for the 24 and meant to do 100 miles or more. So there was a place I was going with. Oh, it's not a 100 mile race.
Yeah.
So I typically don't, but you know what? I there are times.
Well, we'll save you.
Make exceptions.
We'll save you, Ed, from having to make that decision. Now, unfortunately, and I didn't realize the LA Marathon's will be November 7th. So yeah, Salt and Steve, and it starts 6:30 in the morning on Sunday, November 7th. But maybe you can come out and see. You can drive down the Palomar Mountain and watch Adam and whoever he happens to be with going up that last 13 miles. So that'll save you from having to do just 81 miles.
Okay. And you know, and I don't want people to think I'm an elitist here.
I know.
Oh, I won't touch it. It's just for me. The way I look at it, even a marathon now, the cost of marathons nowadays, you could pretty much the same price do 100 or maybe a couple dollars. Well, it depends, you know, if you're doing like lose a little bit pricey and that way is really expensive, but that's a different, you know, horse of a different color. It's in its own league, but I figure if I'm going to, and like LA Marathon, it's a weekend commitment because you got to go to the expo
the damn bib.
LA, get your bib. And then, you know, and then you like for me, I drive from home, but I'll leave at like 3 o'clock in the morning and drive out. And then and I stay till the last person comes in. So I'm there until, you know, the sun sets, and it's a weekend. If I'm going to, you know, spend time on a weekend, I, you know, want to get credit for a 100 mile race. That's I'm trying to get the most in the world. So,
well, we saved you by them being on the same date, but there you know, like I said, we just do this show off the top of our heads. And then of course it kind of segues into Badwater, which you did have some Badwater news of your own, right, Ed?
I don't know. What's that, Andy?
About this year's race?
Oh, well, that I'm not doing it? Is that?
Yeah, that's news.
Is that the news? Okay, yeah. So for those who aren't familiar with Badwater, so, all right, for me, I crewed in 2010 and just fell in love with the race. And actually, that was my first time running a race, what I would call a real 100-mile race. I had done Nanny Goat 24-hour, which it has a 100-mile component to it as well, but it's 1 mile loop on a horse, private horse property. And that was my first 100. I did 24 hours, but I did 102 miles. And then it was a year later, actually a year and 1 week, when I did my second 100, which is back at the same location. I was in a walking boot at that point. But anyway, I met a guy who is going to be doing Badwater, and I was lucky to get onto his crew. So the first time I went out to Badwater was I'd done two 24-hour races previous to that. And it's like, wow, it's just amazing to me. So it's like, this is a race I want to do myself. And the next year I got in, and I've been in it, had been in it every year, 9 consecutive years. And last year was going to be my 10th Badwater in a row. By the way, Adam could come out 1 year, the last part of the climb going up Whitney Portal Road, he'd come out there and supported me and joined me. So a little bit. I mean, you got to be real careful because you're not supposed to have outside of your crew people. And if you know, and Chris Costman, the race director, is pretty strict with the rules, you know. So yeah. I felt bad because I remember, by that time I'd already been in my second night, but I think I kind of told Adam, you can't really run with me too much. You would know better, Adam.
I think what happened was I had some time and I was like, I wanted to come out and support you. And for me, the drive there is like 2 hours. So I'm like, I got to come and support Ed. And so I messaged him. I said, hey, can I, you know, basically run from Lone Pine up to the portal with you and finish with you? And I think in your fogginess, you kind of said yes, either not understanding the question I was asking or not understanding that, hey, we're going to get in trouble if I allow that because your daughter was with you. And so then you kind of messaged me back, hey, you know, I can only have one pacer, and which was fine. I mean, I love going out there, and I was able to get on the trail and hike after I saw you at Lone Pine. I just drove up to the portal, did a hike, came back, and then watched you finish. And so I love being up there in that atmosphere. And kind of circling back to Marshall, I went up there to watch him finish. I mean, this is like 9 years ago, I think. And I don't even remember if it was a momentous Badwater for him or not, but it was coinciding with a trip that we were driving halfway across the country to Yellowstone. And right at the beginning of our trip, it fit to go and watch the end of this race and camp. And then, and so we were making a family trip out to Wyoming, and we started it off with the finish of Badwater. So I met him and he finished around midnight or so. And I had his book, and I, you know, just, he was very gracious. You know, I just congratulated him. I said, "Hey, you know, I have your book. Would you be willing to sign it?" "Oh, of course," you know, and he signed it. And obviously he's tired, so he just signed it. So then the next morning we go to breakfast in Lone Pine, and he walks past our table and he sees me and he says, "Hey, Adam, you know, I just realized, you know, I signed your book last night, but I wanted to write a little message in there. Do you still have it?" And I'm just like, this is so cool. Like, I couldn't believe it, you know. I mean, he's like a hero to me. And he's coming to me saying, "Can I write it as my message?" You know, so I went out in the car and got it. He wrote a really nice message in there. And it was just awesome. He's a great person.
He's such a cool dude, you know, and he's so humble. Yeah, the things he's accomplished. So the first time I met him was when I was crewing for my friend, Brian Recor. And this was in 2010. And I knew his story pretty much. I certainly knew about him having all of his toenails surgically removed. Crazy. And then, so I met him. His book had just come out, Running on Empty. And he was there signing it for the Badwater, you know, the pizza party that we do the final night. Everybody gets together. So we got there early, and it was just a few of us. And then I also had this little thing I had him sign, and he told me, Brian was telling him about how I had done 100 miles, 102 miles in 24 hours in a walking boot. And he said, "Well, you know, there's this whole group of people called Centurions who actually," and of course, Andy knows about this because he saw Yolanda and who's our buddy?
Anthony.
Colorado. Anthony. Yeah, Anthony Culpepper, do it at the Dome in Wisconsin, becoming the new Centurions, like the number 96 and 97, maybe. Anyway, oh, yeah. In fact, I saw Anthony. He was doing one of the aid stations at Javelina, and he showed me his pin. That's each person gets a pin for which number they are. Anyway, so Marshall told me about the Centurion group, and he wrote on my thing again, like a fanboy. I'm like, "Hey, can I get your signature here?" And he said something like, "Keep on power walking," and signed it. And it's like, oh, and so I've got that. It's pretty cool. But yeah, he's a really, really cool guy and very inspirational, and always willing to help as any way he can. And then of course, one of your podcasts, Andy, you talked about how he had set the record for the winter Badwater 146, going from the Badwater Basin 282 feet below sea level up to what is Whitney 14
five
yeah
14500
yeah
14,500
so up to, you know, that, and doing it in winter, and even having to go there's I guess two routes, and Annie, you would know this, you've scaled Whitney so many times. I've one time, but there's a route that for mountaineers it's shorter but technical,
and yeah, so went up that one. so Marshall, you know, this summer he did his 30th crossing of the Badwater 146, and he did it about the same time that Harvey Lewis, who we know from the USA 24 hour teams, broke Marshall's record for the crossing. And so then Marshall this year, to raise money for Alzheimer's, and I'm blanking on it, but his good friend Mason, I think his name, on the Eco Challenges, has Alzheimer's and was actually doing the Eco Challenge race with Alzheimer's. So anyways, Marshall did a crossing, winter crossing, and he had some muscle issues, so he had to stop in Panamint Springs for a while. And then, of course, they went up the Mountaineers route, which is quicker, but also they had ice axes and crampons, and he had a guide. And it took him like over 6 days to do because he'd had some injury issues and stuff. So it's definitely pretty interesting. And it's so funny, I've never done a three-person. I just realized, like, I can scroll over on the phone, and now I can actually see Adam. I can see all three of you. I was only seeing who was talking. And no, great stuff there, guys. And of course, Adam got his Western States lottery ticket. He's got one ticket for this winter. Hopefully he gets in. And of course, he gets in. Definitely, I'm going to be part of it. And hopefully Ed will be able to be around in the area. And of course, then of course, Adam's ultimate dream and goal is to do Badwater sometime. And he's got to build his resume. And you've got the jester here. So if you, he's definitely help you out with that stuff.
And you got, I with my ADHD, I get sidetracked easily and I forget, yeah. The whole thing you're asking about is my Badwater history or my Badwater event. So last year I was supposed to do my 10th Badwater and they weren't sure if it was going to happen or not. And then finally, when they made the announcement, like 2 weeks before, okay, it's on. And then like the next day there was an earthquake and a big rock slide on Whitney Portal Road, did some damage, but they're going to get that cleaned up. And then 10 days before Badwater, we got an email from race director Chris Kosman. Sorry guys, there was one positive case of COVID in Inyo County, not death, but one positive case of COVID. And they pulled the permit. And because Inyo County, that's where Whitney is. That was it. The race was over. And so what happened is he allowed those of us who had been signed up to have an automatic entry into either this year or next year. And I would be doing it this year, except it's not a decision that I can make by myself. I have a partner and she convinced me that it would maybe be wise to put my auto deferment into next year, because what if we still don't know where things are at COVID wise and what if it happens again this year? And unfortunately that fee is forfeited. It's not, we don't get credit for, we have to pay over again. And it's a pretty expensive entry fee for that race. So it's like, I can't afford to do that 2 years in a row. So I'm sure by 2022, COVID will have done whatever it's going to do and we'll be back to whatever the new normal is. So I'm really bummed, because it's going to be the first time in 10 years that I haven't been at Badwater. I might, if I can convince my wife, I might even see if I can go out and crew for somebody, because I'd love to, it'd be a nice way to, give back and still be a part of the Badwater family. And that's for me. It's no Badwater for this year. And it's kind of a bummer, because looking at the numbers, if I did it just right with the numbers coming up, Badwater, if I did it this year, could have been my world record breaking. Got some light in my eyes there from the shades here. But anyway, it could have been my 2600 mile race. I'm at 196 now. I've got three coming up in April, and I could have worked it out to where that could have. But anyway, so such is life, and life goes on.
Yeah. So that was.
It'll still be a record when the summer comes around the following year. It just won't be that momentous one, but you'll have the record by then.
Yeah. So hopefully by then I'll be, my typical 12 to 15 hundreds a year. Actually 12 is kind of a light year for me if I do 12 hundreds in a year. But anyway, if I keep that schedule, so by next Badwater, it might be number, who knows, 215, 220. Love doing stuff with numbers. So knowing me, I would, if I saw the way it was going, I'd probably try and make it to where that was my number 222.
Yeah, I just thought of that too.
Yeah.
So speaking of the quest to get to 200, I talked to you beforehand and you kind of have a schedule and a plan for, and I think it's kind of good, what one's going to be your 200s.
Nanigo, where it all started in 2009. So it's kind of my, if you want to call it my hometown race, it's about 45 minutes from where I live in Murrieta. Yep. This is in Riverside, but it's close enough. And it is, I've done every single Nanigo. They didn't have one last year, but every single Nanigo from the very first one, which is my first 100. And the second Nanigo was my second 100. And then, this will be number 12. So I'm the only person who's actually done 100 miles or longer. My shortest, actually, there is 102, but over 100 miles at all of them. And so it's a good race to make that my number 200, and has special meaning. And I think it's local enough to where I can get some family and friends to come out and be a part of it. Plus, it's 1 mile loop, so it's a great one for people who, you know, typical 100 mile race, if it's a point to point or even a loop or even multiple, it's like Catalina. They're 20-mile loops. So if you come out just to support somebody, you might not see them for, you know, 6 or 8 hours, you know?
Yes. Well, I'm thinking of being down there. Adam won't be down there because Adam is going where on Memorial Weekend?
I'm going up to the Western States training run. And so my plan is to run all 3 days, and you do a leg each day. You don't do like the first 30 miles of the course because it's covered in snow, but you run from about mile 30 to mile 60 or so the first day. And then you do like 20 miles on Sunday and then Monday, Memorial Day. So yeah, it's 70 miles of the course over 3 days, and you get to see the course. And I figured, you know, let's say I get in, which I'm hoping to, I feel lucky. I think it's going to happen. Then I'll know the course and not feel pressured to go up there a month before the race and have to run out, which I may still do, but maybe only do like one leg versus all 70 miles, you know. Now, I know, Ed, you'd probably go up there and figure out a way to do the whole course the month before. It's not a big deal for you, but for me, you know, I'm pretty new to even run. I've never even run 100 miles, you know. 100K is the farthest I've gone, so I wouldn't want to wear myself out that close to the race. But
that's a smart idea to get out there and check out the course, be familiar with it. I was really lucky that the guy who paced me, and Andy knows the checkpoints better, it's mile 60 or 62, and you can have your pacer jump in with
Horse Hill.
Yeah, and that's Forest Hills, like 60,
62. Yeah, 62 okay, miles. Yeah.
So, but he had gone to heading out, Adam. Oh,
yeah, I'm sorry. I got to get duty calls.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Well, I wanted to do, but I screwed up on the invite. I wanted to surprise Ed to get Adam, and then we had some technical difficulties because I wasn't really sure if I could do it upon video and send Adam an email. So it's really great. I'm glad you're on here, Adam. It made some really interesting content and jumping around. And so go off to work, and we'll be seeing you later on. Probably go out and do some miles this week out at Hart Park. Okay, Adam,
sounds
thanks
good
for being on.
Good. Great to see you, Ed.
Good to see you, Adam.
Talk to you.
Congratulations again, Adam.